that kind of nice? I've never seen the whole church move forward without everybody asking them something's up. You know, I'm watching David Engel walking down today. Now that he's not here, I'll talk about him. I'll turn the
microphone off. Isn't it good to have a shepherd like that? What a wonderful heart. Maybe in your prayers, not going to be thankful.
Okay, we're on. Dave says he's going to give me plenty of time. I don't need plenty of time tonight. So you might get to go home a little bit early. Now, matter of fact, I knew I was coming. What did you say that loud, brother? That would be a first. Anytime a preacher tells you you're going to get to go home early.
That was just a statement about our church.
Well, okay, well, mine is personal. Anytime a preacher tells you about to go. Yeah.
My grandfather was in World War II, and he served in the European theater, as they call it. And my grandfather collected World War II guns, and he used to sit down with me, and I'd go over to his house, and I'd say, "Grandpa, show me those guns." And buddy, we'd go in there and clean those guns, and he'd talk about how they worked and the bayonets that fit on the end of them. And then he had this beer stein that he had brought home from Germany, big one, and he had all these things inside that beer stein. And he would, I'd say, "Hey, show me the stuff in the stein." So he had a German swastika. It was like a round thing that went around somebody's sleeve type thing, you know. And you know, I'd feel that. And where'd you get that? I'd ask him. I knew where he got it, but he got that off a dead German, you know. And he told me that. Well, then he'd get out the German Luger that he got off the same fellow, you see. Then he got to show me the propaganda books that, you know, the Germans, they scattered propaganda against the United States and against everybody else that would be fighting that battle.
So he showed me all those things. Well, there was something else
in the sign that I never knew about as a child. I didn't know about it until a few years ago. And last year, my mother gave it to me. I have it here with me,
and I'll guard it closely. It's not for everyone's eyes.
It's pictures of the Holocaust. It is some of the most gruesome
pictures I've ever seen. As I look at the pictures of piles of dead Jews, I look at the pictures of them incinerating these people. My mind goes to a really serious place. I think about the atrocities that's happened in this world. And they even happen now to some degree. We're a very sheltered church. Just as a child, I was sheltered from this truth. But as I looked at these pictures, I considered the fact that there's a lot of people that have real struggles. And I think about the fact that, you know, sometimes I have struggles, but I look at the pictures and then my troubles seem to fade away, you know. So I thought about the idea of the troubles, the struggles that we might go through in this world, and I kind of thought about them in three ways. First of all, I thought about the struggles of youth. I just turned 40, so I'm not quite young anymore. So I thought about when I was young. And I had some struggles that was due to the fact that I was just young. Young and minus wisdom, you know. When you're young, you know what kind of... Do some of you older folks remember when you were young?
Mm-hmm.
The struggles, thank you, brother. Sam said yes. When you're younger, you go through a lot of, well, when you're younger, you're looking for somebody to marry. Or maybe not, depending on how bossy they are, I guess. But you've got this relationship thing. When you're young, you're also trying to find your way in life, how to communicate with people effectively. When you're young, you're also looking for, just like Dave was talking about, Dave has got a job. You know, you're trying to find a job and a position and to feed yourself, and and then how do you get out from under mom and dad's roof and make it on your, you know, the struggles of youth are extreme sometimes.
I don't know about you, but I had struggles when I was young.
Well, then there's this number two, the middle age thing. Okay? Here's having the struggles of pregnancy right now. If you deliver during church service, that would be great. But men will all go somewhere else and let you women take care of this.
I don't know about that.
Carl said he'll help.
You know, they've got this midlife crisis thing brewing and all that, you know. And that, I think, and I don't know if I'm an expert on this, but when you get to midlife, you start questioning what it's all really about, what's important, what's not. You do a lot of rethinking. Now, maybe not everybody goes through this, but I have
to some degree. And so I look around, and you know what I've done? I've started getting rid of a lot of the useless things that I've gathered throughout a lifetime that I don't really need. I have started changing my way of thinking away from a worldly concept and more closely toward a spiritual concept. I've had struggles with that, excuse me, as I've entered through middle age. Now, the third thing is folks struggle when they get older. Now, I happen to know a lot of older folks, and I'll tell you why. I like older people. Now, I'm a little bit biased because, you know, in our society, there's a tendency to some degree for people to disregard older people, you know, because, you know, and that's the saddest thing in the world, because older people are great. They have life experiences that if you will just listen to them, you will be put way ahead of your current position. You know what I'm saying? But as I have listened to these things, I have learned that there are struggles in older age. Okay? Dolores is saying, yeah, that's right, isn't it?
You have struggles with your health. Right? Things don't work quite the way they used to. Isn't that fair to say? Okay. Then as you get older, well, you know what? Sometimes there's financial problems that go along with getting older because, you know, the stock market, that's where retirement's coming from, ain't doing so good. And when you get older, sometimes people are not quick to listen to some of this.
The younger generation that's not very smart, that needs to wise up.
Okay. Sometimes when you get
older, you don't remember quite as well. Sometimes you end up at home more than
not because you're not physically able to get.
So this world provides a lot of struggles, doesn't it? Well, what I want to do, briefly, this is
just not a long sermon, but I want you to stop and think with me about what it is to go through trials and struggles in this life. So if you would, turn to James
chapter 1.
Read a few verses and have a shorter thought this evening. Leave it with you to take from.
And if you want to see me afterwards to look at these pictures, you're welcome to.
But you got to be in the hole. Because I won't show them to you. Okay. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Now, part of the thing might be for us to James is saying this, we're supposed to teach about circles, okay? He says, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren,
when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
First thing I want to talk about in regards to this
is the fact that the
text says to consider. James doesn't say that everything in this world is going to be easy or that everything will be joyful, but he says to consider it that way. I want to just stop briefly before I get into what I'm going to talk about
and talk about the way that we view things, okay? The way that we understand what's going on around us. Now, there's really...
From my experience...
Surely people can help me understand more. But from my experience, I really see there being at least two
mindsets
about how to understand the things going on around you. I think a very unhealthy mindset is that of a victim. When you look at the things going on around you and you feel like you consider yourself a victim, you know, victims are not happy people. Victims have a lot of struggles, and they're not all external, they're a lot internal.
It's a mindset that is destructive. Church of God did not make victims.
Isn't that right? The other side of that is the perception
that God is in control of everything. And it's all going to be, as some of the younger folks say, fine. You can say it again. It's all right, except they shorten it. They say, fine. Bell's thinking so.
So, tonight, I really want you to hone in and think about how you understand the things happening around you. Are you quick to think that somehow the world's being cruel to you? Somehow you have been mistreated? Somehow there's an injustice going on? If you're quick to jump to that kind of reasoning,
only you know that. If you're quick to jump to that kind of reasoning,
I want to remind you that that's not a godly thought. That's not a godly thought process. The mind that is focused on the Lord jumps first to the idea of faith. It's going to be all right. You know what? It's going to be all right even if I die. I thought myself of being the 40s category, that this world, that all that I've done in this world, if I should die next week, and I might, I mean, I don't know. I stopped and I said, is that really such a tragedy? Dale Carnegie writes in one of his books, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Boy, man, I'm glad I remember that. He writes this. How you stop worrying is you resign yourself to the worst. You look around in your life and say, what's the worst that could happen? And you become okay with that.
You know, a lot of people are afraid of dying, right? But when you resign yourself to the fact that, hey,
what's the worst going to happen? If I die, I go to heaven to be with the Lord, and guess what? I don't have to pay no more taxes, and the list goes on, right? So, really, I want us to stop and think about what it means to consider, to think about things, especially struggles. So here he says to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Okay? First of all, I want to mention to you that difficulties can be opportunities.
Difficulties can be opportunities. You know, a lot of times there has to be friction there has to be something wrong in a person's life for them to ever make a change and grow. Isn't that true? Now, I wish they weren't so, because I don't like it. And you know what? As I look around this church, I have talked to a lot of you in private discussions behind the scenes, and I know that all of us, including myself, I have these struggles, and you do too. But I want to mention the fact to you that they could be opportunities. God could be working. God does work through our difficulties. Okay? So a mindset, I think, that's healthy and godly is one that says, hey, what good can come from this? How can I use this for God's glory, not the woe is me factor? Which I got to tell you, I mean, church, I got this whining bone inside of me
that wants to move quickly to, and you know, I've got to work at that.
I think it's my responsibility to go. A sailor once said,
you cannot adjust the wind, but you
can adjust the sail. And I like that. Life gives you lemons, make lemonade, you've heard all of it. It's really a thought process of how you look at things. So, just point number one. Difficulties can be opportunities if we use them in that way. Number two, difficulties can help us to grow strong. Knowing, the scripture says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. God cares about our fullness, our completeness. And he says here that God test us.
I want you to read
a scripture with me, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2.
Not to say that God tempts us, because James tells us that God does not tempt us. He does not lay anything before us that would lead us off the path, but that he tests us. He wants to know our hearts. He wants to know our true intention, and he wants us to be built up. He wants us to grow. And you know what? I think sometimes, and I know because I've heard people allude to such a fact that, you know, I've come as far as I can go with God. I am what I am, and that's all I can be. Have you heard people like that? Have you ever thought that? Have you thought, I've just done everything I can? You ever get hoodwinked into thinking that? God says, I don't think so, Tim. This idea, and this is a favorite expression of mine, so you've heard it before. People are like tea bags. You don't really know what they're made of until you put them in hot water. I like that. Anybody make tea? I like tea. Louisiana.
Tea is the best, right? Church and I are agreeable. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10 says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction.
It's hard when you're having struggles in this life to realize that God might be working through that. Because what we want is for everything to be okay.
We have equated everything being okay with the fact that we're in a good relationship with God and God's actually there and
watching over us. But when things are going bad, sometimes we question, well, have I done something wrong? You know, here's Job. Look at the struggles that Job had went through. Astronomical, off-the-chart struggles. Had he done something wrong to bring that upon himself? But was God working through that toward the good? Absolutely. So our struggles can help us to become stronger if we are willing to let God have His way with us. The problem comes in, and I can speak from experience, when I try to struggle to manage it, I'm going to make it all work okay. I'm going to fix the problem. One thing, and I hope I don't embarrass somebody, but Brother Travis, in his search for a job, one thing he's done that I've really liked, he's not tried to manage the situation. Travis spent a lot of time pleading with God on behalf of that. I can learn something from that. Because you know what? I can tell you, and I readily confess, that I'm one that's quick to jump to try to manage the situation on my own. I need to look to heaven and understand that difficulties and trials in this life can help me to grow stronger if I just place all of my faith in God. And then, point number three, last point.
Difficulties can give us hope. You should be now saying, what? How can difficulties give us hope? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 4 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exult in hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Now, boy, I can't figure that out from a human standpoint. Difficulties cause heartache. You know, if I follow a reason from a human standpoint, difficulties are not fun. Difficulties cause me anxiety. Difficulties cause me all of these things. But God says, hey, when you endure, back to James, when you endure these trials of life, when you remain steadfast, you find your completeness in God. Church, you know what my problem is? Before I get to the end of a struggle. Now, as I've grown in the Lord, I give more of my attention to God, and I try to focus less on what I'm thinking inside. And I'm struggling along, and I'm getting weighed down. You know, my difficulty's growing, and I'm getting weighed down. I'm trying to keep... And then at the last minute, I look over like this. I take my eyes off the Lord at the last minute. Then He makes it all okay, and then I'm like, oh man, I'm so close! God wants us to endure. He wants us to hang in there. He wants us to trust in Him, because you know what? When we maintain our steadfastness, then we find hope. All of these people, they didn't have a whole lot of hope, not in the physical sense. But you know what? Our hope is not in the physical sense, is it? I don't hope a whole lot in the physical sense at all. But I hope in a home that's prepared for me.
Beyond the measures of heaven, where God is waiting on me.
Where I'll be reunited with all those loved ones, where
I'll stand in the presence of God, if I would bow my knee and I'll just sing a song of praise and find hope in that. Paul talking about death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says,
if you've hoped only in the this life, you're above all men to be most.
Church, I think sometimes our focus and our hope
is misdirected. If you're struggling through difficulties,
and that's kind of interesting, but all of us are struggling with some difficulty in our life right now. From one area to the next, if you talk to each person up here individually, everybody has a struggle in some spot. Putting our hope in God is the way to go. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to have that crown of life. I'm anticipating. And you know what? I try my best to give my struggles to God. And church, I want to encourage you to, along with our ability to help each other, remind each other, because you get in the middle of a struggle, sometimes you can't see very clearly. So if I go to struggling, I want you to remind me. And if you go to struggling, I'll try to remind you too. If you have a struggle in your life this evening that you'd like for us to pray about, it'd be an awful good time. If you want to come while we stand and sing here, and just mention your struggle, we'll have a struggle prayer. How's that? That's what's name.
Just saying.